extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
Wow, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Kaylin Carr, Kaylin with a C, David Goss, Stefano Fusaro, our hired hand from Miami. We had to bring you in for the Argentine and the Inter-Miami / Messi insights. Welcome back.
Let's call me the ringer.
That's fair. That's fair. What's up, guys? Leagues Cup. Second match day in the books. Dave, you're embroiled in Wikipedia research. What is happening?
This isn't Wikipedia. I'm on m.aiscore.com.
What is going on?
Do you think
these
are fake scores? Do you think I'm getting duped? I'm trying to figure out, didn't San Jose Earthquakes play Toluca in CCL where they played like a B team and almost won on the road?
I vividly remember them winning on the road. That could just be
that was in that era where it was like no one had ever won, and then Dallas like backed into a win one time, and it was like, oh, now someone's won in Mexico.
So Leagues Cup has taken us off the rails, and David Elliott, a newly certified MLS sicko, I feel like we've heard from him a lot over the last few years, so newly certified feels false, but David, I'll let you correct me in the email if I'm wrong here. He said, the latest episode went off the rails, all caps. I love the chaos. I think it's my favorite episode of ETR so far. And now from a mea culpa from David, he says, one, Apple TV. He must have been a hater. Says he's watching more games. Love the 360 show and the wrap up. Sorry, Extra Time. We're the dog walking podcast. So that's the part
of... How's that
bad? No, I think it's good. Yeah. I don't know why he's apologizing.
Yeah, I don't know either.
We feel honored to join you and fill in the blank dog name on, obviously, Purina involved in this as well, if you've been watching the coverage. That's a special place in your life. So he was skeptical. Now he's talking it up. And Leagues Cup, he says he's a sicko. I love it. I was hesitant. I'm all in. Loving the competition, the games, the highlights, and of course the chaos. Sean from San Juan says he was jacked for Leagues Cup since it was announced, and holy soccer gods, has it outperformed his expectations. One of the big draws was being able to experience his team and his father-in-law's team, Toluca, in the competition. He says Nashville-Toluca was arguably the best, craziest match. But every game has been electric, and that's even before the last round of group stage games with elimination on the line. He can't express his love for Leagues Cup enough.
Ditto. I love this.
We're going to get into our love for Leagues Cup, but Kaylin...
Is this San Juan, Puerto Rico?
I think so.
Would it be
it's
San Juan,
a tight spot to be posted up watching Leagues Cup.
San Juan, Washington, and the San Juan Islands?
Could
Are there whales
off
out
the
there?
Coast, yes, orcas.
Would you know if there were?
San Juan Islands in Washington State. Here it is.
Big question. Big question. We had a whole show mapped
There's a
out.
San Juan in California, too. San Juan Capistrano.
Capistrano.
Good. Do you know this place?
I actually have. Crazy enough, I actually have been there.
Is this where the Catalina wine mixer leaves from?
Sure, let's go with that.
Okay,
that right.
It's near San Clemente.
Had a great plan today. Prestige Cali. Worldwide style plan. We had our overall Leagues Cup impressions, the best thing we saw, most interesting result, a player that we've been impressed by, look ahead to the next round, all that. Then Kaylin Carr walked into the studio and just tossed a grenade in the middle of my Google Doc. You said, what if we just picked one player from MLS's past to play in the current Leagues Cup? Because it is chaotic, it is fun. It is altogether new and refreshing. Kaylin, I think you have to start. Who's coming into Leagues Cup from the past? Who are we bringing back?
I asked the question.
No, you have to answer it now.
Okay. Well, I think the obvious one for me is Cuauhtémoc Blanco.
Domino.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Nice. Domino.
Because I think he would have, at the time, he played at MLS at a time where I felt like it was before the sort of collaboration between the two leagues or the competition really had even kicked in. We went and played some games in Mexico with him, and it was fully insane, just crazy. And every match we played in the U.S. was like a traveling circus of, you know, America fans showing up in every single city that we had possibly went to. This is before he went to Pachuca. So if I'm bringing him back, I almost want to add the like that wrinkle to it. They're about to play each other. So it's almost like sometimes you can...
To Puebla, you mean?
Puebla, sorry. If you can actually like take out... Because I think part of it would be like, oh, if you have to sub out a team... like a matchup that you're seeing within the tournament. And that, I mean, that's maybe just because it works in my favor in this case with Puebla and Quau, but that's an extra wrinkle I'd like to add to it.
And so, get a Minica into that group too. Just the all Quau group.
Well, one, I am in favor of us naming the groups instead of like West Group 4.
What, yeah, uninspiring.
I'm in favor of us. And so if there was just a Quau. just like,
no, no, this is a great rock. Idea. This should be legends of the past from both leagues.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're like, we're in the LD group, you know, we're like...
El Chofis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, I like that one.
Oh, man, dude, the LD thing, like, Landon being a Leon legend, come on. Come on.
Yeah, I agree.
I know, obviously.
They hit him with the split, jersey, so no, with too much time on Photoshop, which is like, we got to do the split. You don't have to do the split. But Landon Donovan would be one. I'm going to throw out Jorge Campos. I probably took yours. Yeah, yes, that's an obvious one, and have him... like go between goal and playing up top, just do the Volpe.
Yeah,
like, you know, doesn't even need to come forward and take penalties. He just scores goals up top. Clint Dempsey, I think, just for the
We're doing the list now. One on
why not?
It's not we. I.
All right. So let me just sorry because I have to bring this back. Landon Donovan, 6 career appearances for Leon.
Legend.
But I think legend,
how many club legend?
How many for Everton, where he is also obviously a legend?
Over the course of 2 years, 17.
Okay.
Two
only
goals.
11 more. I'm just saying.
I don't know that.
Same level.
I don't know that he's an. I think that's more on our side than on the Everton side.
Gotcha.
But there.
For people that like to watch NBC sports coverage,
6 for Bayern, though.
Whew.
Yeah.
All right. Stefano, what do you got?
Well, it's going to go with Campos. Just obviously with what we're seeing with Volpe, a little competition for him as far as goal scoring goalies are concerned. Kalen said Steven Lenhart earlier before we went on the air, and I think I got to go with him. I think that would be so fun. Obviously, an MLS legend. I mean, come on.
Let's go full Goonies. But why stop at Steven Lenhart? Let's just go full, like, Rafa Baca, full Goonies.
Well, that works, too, against Tigres. Like, you'd want to watch that matchup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to pick two because you picked two.
Yeah, of course. I will
I'd pick Carlos Ruiz from an MLS point of view because he always got up for CONCACAF competition.
Did you see the Carlos Ruiz and Jorge Campos meeting in the broadcaster's box ahead of Leagues Cup?
No.
I've never seen a more emotional embrace between two men with obvious respect for each other the old days. It was emotional. We could share a team,
Jorge Campos. You were Campos.
Was it more emotional than the LeBron James Messi hug in that first game? Because he brought it in and held on for a long time.
Yeah, this was intimate.
Nice. My other is Bofo Bautista. I don't know if you remember Bofo. Nice. Maria's about to break through the wall. Bofo.
It's our Pumas loving
Bofo played
producer here.
I think he played arena soccer in the U.S. I don't think he ever actually played in MLS. He used to cut off a t-shirt sleeve and wear it on his head for games. And I think it was Boca Juniors in Copa Lib where he went down there and he got red carded and the fans were so upset with him that they had to bring police onto the field to surround him, to escort him off. And he kept like stepping out of it. And he was like, magician on the ball, made you angry. You caused a fight. He made it worse. He would be Leagues Cup legend.
This has been really fun. You can sort of feel and hear the enthusiasm. And nobody knew how this was going to go. I'm going to say as the high priest of Leagues Cup that I had a feeling that this was going to be awesome. Just going to throw it out there right now.
I wish I'd known we were doing this segment. I would have brought my pink Leagues Cup ball boy t-shirt.
You have that?
Yeah. I have it from when the cat ran on the field.
That is a good piece of memorabilia right there. That's good stuff. Should
have
got.
Actually, I have a cat.
Yeah, so
imprint on the back.
Yeah, you should have been the guy that went and got the cat. That's
I don't. Awesome.
You know,
I don't touch
keep the cat hairs.
Wild animals.
That's true. Well, they're not wild.
Where's Doyle?
I'm sorry. Whose cat was that? So
fair point.
Although
fair
now point. It's someone's, right? Didn't someone from the team adopt it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was probably Andrew Brody. Bless his heart.
Anyway, MLS versus Liga MX. The cumulative record right now, 7 wins for MLS, 7 wins for Liga MX. 3
Kalen's
draws.
Kalen's like, let me go.
Plus 7 no,
by the
goal
way,
differential.
Sorry, I know this is already going off the rails, but I did. I'm not going to name names, but I did play in MLS with a third string goalkeeper that we found out was hoarding cats.
You know these things aren't that hard to figure out. I guarantee you someone's going to tweet at us and be like, it was this person.
Oh, my God.
I don't name names.
Hoarding. Please, you don't have to name names.
There was a
please
lot. There was many cats. We didn't figure out exactly how many.
Where were the cats?
The best part. So we used to do, I used to do physical therapy, but it was connected to a wider, like it wasn't just for the team. I'm not going to name which team.
Start to. There's not that many teams to guess.
I know, here. I know.
Arsenal?
But there was like a really nice elderly woman who was, I was on the spin bike next to, and she's like, that young boy is so nice. He's out there adopting cats. Anyways, we got to move on.
Oh, man.
But, oh, boy.
How many cats are we talking?
I was about to ask. Never mind.
I need to know how many cats.
So did we. We tried to follow him home to figure it out. But
that's even better. But
he threw the scent. It disappeared through a back alley.
We may or may not have stopped at PetSmart.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Buying
anyway,
Purina,
right now, again. Dead even as far as record goes between MLS and Liga MX, plus +7 goal differential for MLS. That's by virtue of the Minnesota Puebla beatdown, and New England had a 5-1 here recently, and so did Philly. But the big boys are back for Liga MX, or at least into the competition overall. We saw Monterrey work over RSL. We saw Club America humble St. Louis. You know, Tigres struggled a little bit, but they ended up beating Portland. So as those teams come in, this should change just a little bit. What are your first impressions of League's Cup, Dave?
It is...
Your palate was cleansed, and now you taste what?
Well, so one, it's just, I think, fun for... We've all watched most of these MLS teams play these other MLS teams throughout seasons. So it's just been fun to have something new and different. And I think for all of us, like, researching and working on it, just add something else, a different element. And I think it has started to answer a lot of the questions of, like, what Philly versus Mazatlan looks like, where we'd only ever seen, as I talked about at the beginning of this.
Well, I really gave Austin a pass on that one.
Yeah, I don't know why I said Mazatlan either. I got lost in my own thoughts. Curitiba. So we never really had seen a lot of these matchups before. And I think that's what's been fun and different is we have seen Toluca and America and Chivas and León and Santos Laguna come to the U.S. and Canada and play teams in MLS for years, but we had never really seen a different section of the talent base. And so that's been really fun. I think the different styles has been really fun, like watching America against St. Louis. No team in Liga MX plays the way St. Louis does. So it was cool and very easy for America to get comfortable and play through it. And then you watch like a talent like Julian Quiñones at the highest level. So I think it's been refreshing. It's been new. I think there's been good energy to it. I think part of that is like the learning experience. It sort of feels like the first day of school for a lot of these teams of like, they know who they are because they're at this point of the season, but do you know who you are? Does Nashville know who they are against Toluca in a whole new experience, not what they've done for the last 3 or 4 years in a row? And so I think we're learning a lot. I think what will be cool is I think we're going to start to see a lot of transfers between the two of like, oh, this guy played well in Leagues Cup. Now he's going from MLS to Liga MX and he's going from Liga MX to MLS. And we'll have more familiarity of like how this player fits in as it goes along. Cause I think you're just seeing a closer and closer connection between the two leagues.
Any big takeaways, Stefano?
I mean, I love the chaos. I mean, I think we could all say that we love the chaos and that's part of the reason why MLS sometimes is so fun and why we enjoy it so much. And I think we're seeing just that kind of times too with the Liga MX teams. To kind of piggyback on what you were saying about the transfers. I mean, we saw it right where Brandon Vasquez, you know, was being chased by Chivas and they decide, no, we're not going to spend that much money. And he comes back and scores a hat trick against them. And that type of thing, it's been fun to watch. And I always also gauge, you know, off of friends of mine that I know are soccer fans, but they not necessarily big time MLS guys. They're enjoying this tournament just because now, you know, they have a reason to watch. It's Liga MX and it's MLS. And they're saying, wow, this is like fun and crazy and absolute kind of sometimes bat bleep crazy. And it's kind of fun to see that and see people just really started to gravitate towards Major League Soccer, towards Liga MX, just because you're seeing this just kind of, it's not what you normally see from your European soccer, not what you normally see from your international soccer. And I think that that's, to me, been really interesting and fun because that's what we need. We're having fun here. We want to see that kind of push forward and we're seeing it with this tournament.
It's the newness for me of just something different. Like I've gone through how many MLS seasons and we all sort of sat through, you know, the post All-Star game where everybody's recalibrating and we're waiting to build momentum toward the playoffs. And this just kind of lit a fire under the league, under both sides. Honestly, there was a competitiveness that we knew existed and bubbled around down there. But, you know, Puebla gets whooped by Minnesota and all of a sudden they're the headlines in Mexico. Like, what are they doing? Like, this is embarrassing. It's a humiliation. Like, those added stakes have been really refreshing for me. To go back to what you were saying with the research, that's honestly been the most fun part about this whole project for me is just sitting down and being like, who is Atletico San Luis in any way? Historically, you know, present day, what have their past few seasons been like? Where have their coaches gone? Their players gone? How do they build teams? Oh, they're owned 50% by Americans. What's that about? There's just a lot more stories now to dig into. We, because we're sickos, know the MLS stories, but I don't know all the Liga MX stories. I know the big ones, the Americas, the Monterreys, the Tigres, the ones that we've been sort of forced to have shoved down our throats in CCL, but just a whole new introduction.
And it's, I think that that way we also have an opportunity to create more rivalries, more storylines. We always talk about the Liga MX teams against MLS in CCL, and now it's given us an opportunity to kind of create even more organic type of rivalries, hatred between clubs in Liga MX and clubs in MLS, which I think that, I mean, that's going to be just good all around, because we're going to continue to have Leagues Cup, obviously CCL, so you can really start to build more of a true rivalry with clubs rather than just the national team with USA and Mexico.
Deeper relationships.
Right.
Here's an interesting quote from Bradley Carnell after a 4-0 loss to America, and St. Louis are the first team out in this entire competition. They are saying goodbye, Bradley Carnell, about the quality they were up against. It's important for us as coaches, the club, the fans, to see where the level is really at. We've been in a fairy tale in MLS this season. It's a great reminder of how much work needs to be done. It's a reminder that the party has really just started.
Yeah.
America just got in here. Chivas, I know, lost to Cincinnati, but you know, they'll have every opportunity to move out of the group. Of course, both teams in Monterrey, like Pachuca hasn't played a game. They will in the round of 32. Right. Like, this might have been encouraging to start for MLS, but you know, I'm not saying wait for the other shoe to drop. I'm just saying, like, hold on tight and tie your shoe as tight as you can, MLS, because it's about to get much difficult. Dario Zuparic had maybe the quote of the group stage so far about Portland's loss to Tigres. Quote, "We died like heroes." That's an incredible quote.
So good.
That's amazing.
But the Bradley Carnell one, I mean, you watch this game and, like, there's tactical things you could shift and there's still injuries for St. Louis or pieces they'd want. This was two teams playing exactly how they wanted to, and Club America being the biggest team in the region. Whether they're the most successful right now or not, they are the largest team in this region. They have the biggest fan base. They have the biggest identity. They play in the biggest building. Like, this is a larger than life club, which I think is how Bradley Carnell puts it, of like, yes, if someone walks through the door and they're like, we want to be Barcelona, like, that's kind of a joke, but this is the standard. Yeah. This is in CONCACAF as big as it gets. They are not always as best as it gets. Tigres has been over the last 10 years and other teams have, but that's as big as it gets. And I think for St. Louis, where it's like, this is a soccer historic city and they're trying to build something special, it's been great. But I think for Bradley Carnell and for every coach, right, you're always like looking for a loss at some point to work through, of be like, no, we actually still have to get somewhere. We're not there yet. This was like as big of one as you can get. I mean, the opening goal is just everyone presses high for a goal kick. It's a long ball to Quiñones, and it's just link up between three players, but three elite players. Henry Martin is one of the great goal scorers in Liga MX history at this point. Could have been Golden Boot if Jesus wasn't Pirate of the Caribbean, like at the Gold Cup. Quiñones is as good as anyone is. And you've got then Jonah Dos Santos and whatever else coming out of midfield. So it's like, I don't know. I just watched that and was like, we've seen LAFC try and do this at times. We've seen San Jose try and do this to St. Louis, and there's not that quality to it. And then you see America do it at that level, and it's like, yeah, that's what Bradley Carnell is like. We could get there, but we're going to have to work on it.
I always save the best topics for Kalen. Would you like to walk us through the tiebreaker scenarios, please, Kalen?
No, but I do think, just real quick on St. Louis, I do think they're the only team that's eliminated.
Gone.
I think it's a big missed opportunity for them. And I think the way that Carnell set up this team in match day one was really the big mistake, because they rested a ton of their players, rotated, which, knowing that you have America coming up next, you don't really have the luxury of saying, oh, we're going to put everything against this America team, because you have like your best chance to try, if you're actually going to try to get out of the group, is to try to get points probably from that first match as opposed to that second. It's because he came back home and he brought some of the guys back into the team, but I just thought that the way they rotated things in that first match put them in a huge hole.
Don't you think for a team that is overperforming where they're at, that like, I get that you try, like, put your resources into the group stage, see if you can get out, but I think coming into this, it's like, how can we maintain position in the league? Right? Isn't that where St. Louis stands?
I kind of felt like Carnell was saying, we're good not getting through and putting out a rotated lineup. I thought, like, now reading between the lines, off. I was like, hey, like, you know, like, we would like to stay in the position in MLS, and they've got all these injuries. You know, Leuven just came back, and he didn't really have, you know, when he came over 6 months early, same thing with Joel Klaus, who, I mean, is like the forgotten man sometimes for me now. It's been so long with him. I almost felt like he said, and he may come out and be like, everybody's wrong, we wanted this. Like, we could use a second preseason and a blow.
Okay, but they started Leuven in that first match. He was not one.
Yeah, but I felt like that was a
Well, they started him in both matches.
Yeah, it was like a 60-minute, he's back, and we'll see how it goes sort of thing. Yeah, I get it. I just didn't feel like they cared. Maybe
yeah.
I was wrong about
yeah, that. I just don't. You have now 3 weeks off, which yeah, for chilling. Me is too much time. Like, even if you're going through injuries, it's not like that's going to get that extra time is going to get Zhao Klaus back. Like, that's not where their injuries are, whatever their injuries are like currently. And so the idea that you're going to now take 3 weeks off, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I guess with their style of play, maybe if you play that high energy, you know, style of play, then maybe you say, okay, yeah, we absolutely need this break. But I don't see a big reason the way this tournament was set up, where it's completely blocked off the season, to now have to make decisions to rotate. Or I could understand small changes, which we've seen most teams do in Liga MX too. But
no Berkey, no Parker.
Even just when you go even further down, like, you know, some of the guys that started, even like Stroud, Vasilev, like a number of the guys. I think Jokini, I don't know if he played in the first match. So there's just a number of guys, and I understand their philosophy is like the team is the star. But when you start rotating and bringing guys down the level, especially as the level gets higher, you play against a really good Columbus team, you play against a really good America team, those one-on-one matchups where your system is supposed to protect you get exposed, because suddenly you're looking at a Quiñones going up against, you know, a Yaro or whoever it might be. And those one-on-one matchups did not work well for St. Louis.
The break's going to be interesting, because it's going to be interesting to see how teams come out of it. You said it, like, is 3 weeks too long in the middle of a season? How much do you give a team off? Can teams work on things, really? I think overall the soccer will be better coming out of this, because you're going to have teams that do go on runs. Your intensity level raises. And I think that will have teams sort of like in a playoff mode going back into regular season. And then on the other side, I think you're going to have rested teams, which outside of like a couple World Cup breaks in the past is just not a thing in MLS. All-star break is in the middle of a week. So like, there's not really time off normally in Major League Soccer. And with the travel and the weather and all of that, it'll be interesting to see what the soccer looks like in league after League's Cup. I actually think it's going to probably be a really good other half of this, which is teams are going to be ready to go for the second half of the season.
I mean, look, St. Louis 4 wins in 5 games before this competition. I think your point there and what I'm thinking about now is like, can they carry that momentum forward? Or is this something with this big break? Hey, we're healthy, but our momentum is sort of blunted and we've just been sitting around for a while. It's going to be a question they have to answer when they return. All right. Best thing we saw from the second round of League's Cup. Dave, get us started.
Which part are we on?
The best thing we saw.
Okay. You've made me do so many of these for the rundown. I remember the best thing I saw was Dane St. Clair facing off against Shaqiri and deciding that that's the person whose manhood he's going to challenge in a way in which, first
in a way,
of all,
I mean, it was direct.
First of all, Shaqiri is a ball of muscle that was rolled on the field, given 2 legs to put cleats on. Like, I can't think of a more intimidating person. Also, his life background and what he's done and been through.
This man has challenged entire countries.
He almost started a war on a soccer field and then did it again. When they were like, don't ever do that again. He's like, yeah, for sure. And then did it again. So of all the people for Dane St. Clair to choose to call out, then he scores a penalty and then rough for Dane. Because on the next goal, he doesn't have to dive, I think, on the cross. And he's already on the ground when the shot comes back across. So it's like Dane St. Clair is an elite goalkeeper in MLS. He had a bad moment on top of that, which I think just goes more into the storyline of these two teams and sort of the way this game played out. And I thought there was like great energy to it. And it's a huge moment for Chicago, our Chicago Fire fan right here. Is that why you're wearing it?
He's got the Shaqiri jersey on right now.
I do have the Shaqiri jersey on.
Is that why you're wearing it?
Shout out Chicago. They won. Nice. So I decided to put the jersey on. Yeah, like you said, you don't want to challenge a guy with his background 100%. Also, Dane St. Clair, sure, you can call him elite goalkeeper at MLS, but if you look at his advanced stats, not that good this year, really. Yeah. So, you know, if that's the season you're having, maybe don't do that.
No,
maybe
I like,
just keep
no.
your mouth shut.
I like the confidence.
I mean, I like it too, but
I like the confidence. I will say,
I will say, in watching, especially with the shootouts in League's Cup, like, do something. Too many goalkeepers stand in and they're like, I'm just going to guess away. And it's like, you need way more stuff going on in shootouts of like, oh no, like just pointing at sides for them, talking to them, trying to steal the ball, whatever.
Not enough mind games in leagues.
Yeah.
Not everyone can be Emmy Martinez. I mean, let's go. Come on.
Remember whatever the Dutch guy was in 2014, which sucked because it beat Costa Rica. Shout out CONCACAF. But yeah.
But the real problem for Minnesota is they continue to find ways to lose games late. Like they've had this problem all season, especially at home. Yeah. It's been worse at home than being on the road. And, you know, before the season, they would have to, or earlier in the season before Reynoso came back, they would say, okay, we're going to get that one chance from Hlongwane and you're trying to make that count. Now they're getting two from him. He gets two in the match.
He's at 12 goals all comps on the season. How crazy is that?
He's leveled up big time. But yeah, after the 75th minute this year, I have the stat that Kai's winner was Minnesota United's ninth goal conceded after that. So they've dropped points. They did it at home against Vancouver. I think that was Betcher had the goal. Yeah. Then
it was like the last kick of the game.
Yeah. Duncan McGuire got one late.
Shot a big dunk.
Yep. And then give up two goals in the last 15 minutes again. So they still need, their offense looks better. They've looked much improved, but I think they're through, right? Minnesota United, they've advanced. They have gotten through the group. But still, the late goals has been a big problem for this team. And that was the bigger thing more than, you know, maybe, of course, the penalty. But the way that they're conceding, not able to keep possession or kind of put that last goal away to close off game.
Best thing you saw, Kaylin?
The funnest game. I was at home chilling last night, which was great. And I put on the Toluca-Nashville match. And that was just end-to-end, wide open goals. You know, red cards, goalkeeper penalties, like it had a little bit of everything. And unfortunately for Nashville, it shows why they don't ever play that way, because it just didn't suit them. The entire season we've been watching, I went back through their matches to say, have they been in a really open match like that where there's been this kind of like just goal after goal and fight back and all that? And there really hasn't been. It's mostly been 1-0. 2-0. I think they've had a couple games where it's been 3-1 them, but it's been more like systematic, right? Where a team starts to press a little more, then they hit on the counterattack and finish. And this was completely different, where I thought the way that Toluca set up was pretty smart. They played 3-5-2, crowded numbers in the middle, but they're just really good in possession, brought them out wide into the wide areas. Nashville played without Dax McCarty in this match, which I thought didn't quite work. Didn't see the same partnership that we'd seen in the past with Anunga in there, with Godoy, and left some spaces. But credit to Toluca for really stretching them out, those late arriving runs in the box. But I thought more than anything, it was concerning for me from a Nashville perspective, and it's why I've had them behind a New England or a Philly or a Cincinnati, is they really still can only win one type of game the way I see it. And I think they have to be tight. They have to have their lines compact. Then they hit on counter. It's mostly through Hany Mukhtar. And this was one where it really opened up and it got stretched end to end. I think New England can play a game like that. It was wide open in their match against Atletico San Luis and they just ran them off the pitch. I understand Atletico is not the same team as Toluca, but still they can win a couple different ways. Philly, we've seen shootouts. Sometimes you can't control the type of match you're going to play in. You're going to have to play on someone else's terms. And that's where I think it was a little bit concerning for Nashville in this one at home.
Thiago Volpe?
Yes.
What a legend. What does it take inside a professional soccer team as the goalkeeper to say, I'm taking penalties?
I don't know.
I'm that guy.
From the striker's perspective.
I'm running up from the back to take this penalty.
He keeps finishing him. Goalkeepers would tell you this time and time again that they should be on these.
Yeah, goalkeepers say a lot of things.
I hope this is like the lasting legacy of Leagues Cup is some MLS goalkeepers.
What MLS goalkeeper are you are you saying deserves that honor? I'm going to say Tyler Miller, just as payback for making him sweeper keep all the time. Just like, come on, man, fair. Just give me something.
He's already at the half field. Give Tyler line, Miller, so something. He might as well.
He's halfway there already.
Yeah. I would say Takaoka took a penalty in Leagues Cup, I think against Lyon in that crazy.
He scored.
Yeah, and he took it well. So I would have to give. He's shown it. He's proven it.
I think Dane St. Clair and have him yelling back the other direction.
I like that.
I just don't understand why every goalkeeper is not one of the first five shooters in a shootout. They take the most penalties throughout their week every single time. They shoot the most shots. It's a static moment. They're already down there. Like, I don't understand. Your goalkeeper shoots against your other goalkeepers all day. Kalen's like so angry about
this. Well, this is just a ridiculous comment. Because
they're better. They're better. They're normally
they're
better.
Not better than the strikers. The strikers are paid millions of dollars to shoot
almost
all day.
Every missed penalty is because of what you're thinking, not your physical ability. And almost every
and they're
time
never
is because
in that
of a
situation.
Is because of a striker's like, yeah, I'm going to chip this into the top corner.
How do you respond to the fact that most of penalty misses, if not the vast majority, are by strikers?
That is, it's hard to dispute, but
big data.
Yeah.
If it was me, it would be my two center backs, my goalkeeper, and then maybe if we even get there, I'd let an attacking player shoot, but they'd always be subs. You always make your sub shoot. So that's it.
Oh boy. All right.
And Simon Betcher, of course.
Best thing I saw, Brandon Vasquez poking Chivas in the eye three times. They made a not so good offer for him. And then they came back with $7 million, right? That's what it was. And Cincinnati said, get out of here. We're not taking that. For Brandon Vasquez, who grew up supporting Chivas Guadalajara, to score a hat trick against them in League's Cup, that was 18 hours and 11 minutes apart. Pretty sick.
Yeah.
This one got abandoned. Weather in the Midwest in the summer. These things happen.
They do happen. Yeah. You said it like we all knew.
I don't know. I just
so I followed up.
Yeah, that felt like that felt like two old guys at a coffee shop being like, happen, oh, yeah, yeah, these things good, happen. Yeah, yeah.
The picture's a little fuzzy. There's going to be weather today.
These things happen.
Good response from Cincinnati, getting back on track. I mean, they had that kind of crazy one against Sporting Kansas City where they started off really poorly, then find their way back. Just always seem to find a way. A team that would be easy to say, hey, we're in the league. We're at top of the table going for the supporter shield.
It's our first time here.
We're in the U.S. Open Cup. Why don't we take it easy during League's Cup?
That's fair. That's fair. But you know what? Even better recovery from Chivas.
I think they may have actually said that. And then Lucho in game one was like, nah, we're actually going to win. So as you guys keep trying to lose, we're conceding goals up a man. I'm going to carry us back and we're going to win.
What'd you think of the Chivas goal after the abandoned game? They came back this afternoon as we're taping. We're watching. Well, we're like, this is going to be boring, but we'll throw it on. Like, certainly they'll just
play
it out.
Do you want me to lift the veil of television?
Yeah, go for it.
We did a preview for the SKC Chivas match that we recorded this morning.
You can watch all these previews on MLS Season Pass
on
Apple
TV. And I made Kalen record multiple ones in case of what happened. And I started one by saying, crazy things happen in League's Cup. What a comeback from Chivas against Cincinnati. And then Kalen talked about Eric Tommy for 2 minutes. And we're not going to use that one probably because it didn't happen. But when they scored that goal, I was close.
As a throw-in, just like direct throw-in at the very first play.
That's why we're challenging for Supporter Shield, MLS Cup, Open Cup, and League's Cup because we're prepped for everything. We've got multiple previews recorded no matter what happens.
This is our third taping of Extra Time today.
Just to really nail the awkward moments between Weeby's jokes.
Exactly. All right. So give me a time here, Maria. You've been telling me times in my ear. 32 minutes. Stefano, take it away.
We're finally mentioning him.
We're here.
30 minutes in. Leo Messi. One more time. His first start, scores twice, gets an assist. We're going by older rules. He would have had a second assist.
Well, not older rules. Current rules.
Current
MLS,
rules in MLS.
Not rules in
not rules
Cup.
For League's Cup, which we thought were going to be the rules.
Yeah, thus more
Cup.
Chaos. Just, you know, more if chaos. You're a second assist aficionado, just know that those aren't happening in League's Cup.
Fair enough. Again, his
Valderrama
magic.
Wouldn't even play.
The magic of Messi. I mean, it was just fun to watch again. Not to say that Atlanta really had the right game plan defensively. They probably showed us a blueprint of how not to defend Messi and Busquets. But it was just awesome to see, once again, this guy come on the field, do his thing, get two quick goals, and Inter Miami just looking like a completely different team than they did 2-3 weeks ago when we were talking about probably the worst team in the league. Now, they're a legit contender for this tournament and maybe for other trophies as well, the U.S. Open Cup as well. So what I want to say and ask you guys, have we ever seen, and I get we're talking about Messi, but have we ever seen a team, one player change a team so drastically to the point where they're worst team league to now being possible favorites to win a trophy?
Where was Seattle with Nico Lodero? Now, all the pieces in Seattle were much better
Ziggy got fired.
Yeah, we're much better. Well,
no, Ziggy got fired and then Nico played the next game.
Yeah.
That was the difference was they literally let the manager go and then they won MLS Cup. So that was a drastic difference. And there have been moments where players have come into this league and
Pipo was huge when he came in, like from
Pasuelo scored like three goals or four goals in two games. None of it's going to feel like Messi. Although, in fairness, Busquets had an assist, so it's not one person.
True.
I just, this is exciting. I would like to throw out that Atlanta is the second worst defense in Major League Soccer. And they gave Franco Ibarra away because they didn't have enough roster spots. Yeah. So they are the worst defense in Major League Soccer. And they looked like it. So before we anoint, and I know Weeby's got a new shrine and everything going. Before we anoint.
Me?
I would just like to throw that out
probably
there.
Probably definitely more me.
Well, yeah, that's fair. Weeby's shrine is you. He brought you in to be his living shrine too.
Well, I don't think shrines. I think I got to retire shrines. The Galaxy. As soon as I started making the shrine jokes, the Galaxy have been like the worst team in the league for a while.
Mid-season acquisitions.
That changes a team that much. Yeah. Right. We're literally going.
Rooney
from the worst.
For DC was a big one.
Okay. That is a big one.
That's a big one.
Drogba for Montreal was a big one. I think Higuain was a midseason acquisition as well.
Yeah, I said Pipa.
Yeah. Are you looking for one?
No, I'm looking for the list of players that have scored hat tricks against Miami this year. I had a list. It's like a super long list. And I saw everybody going off online of like, this is why MLS is terrible. He scored three goals in two games against MLS. Right. I'm like, first of all, Atlanta. First of all, one of those is Cruz Azul. Not an MLS, guys. Yeah. Like, just going to throw it out there. Haven't won a single game this year. The other is Atlanta, which are guaranteed to get into 4-3 shootouts or get run off the field. Frankie Amaya scored a brace off the bench for the Red Bulls against Atlanta. Like, if Frankie Amaya can do it, Lionel Messi can do it.
Whoa, Frankie catching straight.
He's one of seven dudes. Robert Taylor got a brace in the same game.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about Messi so far? Even the post wants to pass to him.
I think he meant that.
You think
so? He called bank. Yeah,
just
he called
kissed
glass.
It right off the post? Yeah. I mean, it was like the perfect angle to come right back to his feet.
No, I do think that the matchups have worked out well, and I agree with all of those things. I was calling that Red Bull game where they smashed Atlanta for nothing at home, but I don't know. There is just something about him that it's not just for me. The big difference is he's making his teammates better. So it's not even just that. Yeah, he's doing his stuff, and it's just Busquets finding him giving him the rock and clear out. It's like he's making Robert Taylor better, more confident. The way he's combining with DeAndre Yedlin, the way Kramaski looked better in this last one, like the way that the team is kind of starting to gel around them. I still think that back line is still the big question, and that's still going to be a problem. Drake Callender saved the penalty to get to keep the clean sheet in this one. In the matches in the beginning of the season where Inter Miami actually was competitive, it was a lot of that, honestly. Not many chances, not many opportunities, and then Drake Callender standing on his head to keep his team in it. So I think, almost with the most player to win out of this, the way he's going to stand out even more. I think people are going to see more and more of Drake Callender. He has to keep his form. At times over the past, there's been a few dips as where he's had this elite level and then drops down a little bit. But he's been really good, lived up to the moment. But I still think that defensive question mark part, if they can get players coming in, if they can get some guys healthy, there's rumors that I heard you guys talking on the last show about Gregory potentially being ahead of schedule. If they could get him back, that would be huge. But there's something about Messi that lifts everyone else around him and then also just makes you believe. Because I've just been like, man, is this possible? Like, could they actually win Leagues Cup? And there's just something about having him on the team that makes it seem possible for sure.
Not just seem. I mean, I think it is possible. MLS might be a step too far, but I don't put anything out of his reach, 9 wins in 12 games or 8-3 draws and a loss. Like,
right. But if you would have said before,
sounds impossible,
but that's based on what we've seen. But if you had said before Leagues Cup, Messi's coming in, it's his first match. He hasn't played. He signed 9 days earlier, all this crazy hoopla announcements, celebrities are going to be at every match. Is it fair to expect Lionel Messi and Inter Miami to win Leagues Cup? Be like, no way.
Yeah, no
There's
chance.
No chance.
But how quickly
but that's
that
the way
changes,
it's changed.
Right?
Yeah.
After two games, that all changes completely. And go back to what you were saying about, people complaining, Messi and MLS, it's not fair. It's too easy. This and that. Our friend Taylor tweeted out a video of that second goal he scored against Atlanta, almost a carbon copy of a goal he scored last season for PSG. The same exact movement, the same defender dropping off, and him just pushing forward, hitting a guy on the outside, making the run to the second post, and finishing with his right foot. That's just one example. But to say that, oh yeah, it's too easy, it's too, I think that's kind of a little bit misguided, because he's going to do what he wants to do on the pitch, no matter where, what pitch he's on, whether what league he's in. He's going to do, he's going to try to make his plays the same way he's always done them, and he's probably going to do it. So I think it's kind of just misguided to say, oh yeah, it's just because he's in MLS or in League's Cup or facing off against a Liga MX team.
That's the benefit of scoring, what, like 900 goals in your career? Is
right.
Probably a carbon copy somewhere of any goal you score, especially the way that he scores and the way his movement unbalances teams. He just has done it before, and that's, you know, that's the benefit of being Lionel Messi. I don't expect him to stop. Facundo Farias and Tomas Aviles sound like they're coming from Cologne and Racing. That's a left winger slash forward in Farias, and then Aviles is a young center back, which, you know, might be a guy for right now, but maybe for the future. I mean, they just keep reloading. We'll see where they go. We'll see who they play in the round of 32. They will host that match out as the group winners, and they have 6 points, so they have every opportunity with Lionel Messi to make a run. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. How about the most interesting result of the second round of match days, Dave? What do you got?
So just to throw out, if Orlando wins their group, I think Orlando and Miami would face off in the next round.
Yeah.
Which, did you just say that?
Yeah, we have the whole breakdown.
Oh, did you just say
that's
that?
Yeah, that's a good tease, though. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that there was a rundown, because I just thought you were keep asking random questions.
Yeah, no, no.
Just rewording the same question.
I wait to see if there's movement on your computer screen?
Got it.
Oh, he's reading something.
Most interesting results of the second round for me was the Tigres-Portland game. I think that was one of the games, maybe along with America, St. Louis, and Chivas Cincinnati, that I was most excited for.
I thought it was going to be a blowout.
This game.
Yeah, I thought Tigres.
Before it happened.
Yeah, I thought Tigres, like, Portland was going to do the thing where they sit back and they sort of bunker, you know, Geo playoff style, and then Tigres was going to just have the ball and just tear them
apart.
But
Tigres don't really want the ball. So that's, like, kind of the tough part about that. This game showed you literally every color of Evander that you could find. He scored one of the best goals of the tournament. He gave the ball away for Tigres equalizer, and then he got an unnecessary red card after that. I think you saw in the way Gignac, like, walks him off the field, the respect of, like, Evander was the best player on the field for the first 44 minutes until he got red carded. It's unfortunate, because I do think Portland would have won this game if he stays on the field. I thought they were the better team outside of the one mistake. It's a class finish, but besides that, there was Gignac shot from the side of the box. Nothing else really was created by Tigres. And when Portland was in the attacking third and Evander had the ball at his feet, it felt like they were creating chances.
Just want a better decision-making and number of spots for the Timbers.
For sure. And you always will, I think. Yeah. Especially when you look at the center forward options of everyone has a skill set, and then where they don't have their skill set, there's huge absences.
What was his first yellow in this one?
It was like sort of a 50-50 ball in the midfield bouncing, and the Tigres midfielder bent down just a little bit to head it, and he stuck a chicken wing out and, like, caught him in the side of the head. That one to me is very clearly a yellow card. The second one is a little bit more debatable. But he's, like, flailing his hand and he hits a guy in the head. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't think it's brutality or excessive force, so it wouldn't be a violent conduct red card. But
I think there's more intent to that.
I do think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but the guy smacked the ball off it. Like, he loses the ball, and the other guy, I think it was Lopez, just comes over and just shoots it literally off him, facing his own
goal. I think he was partially also claiming for a handball in the moment, which it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I think that was part of his hand going up. But I think
somebody does that to you in the run of play. They're clearly targeting Evander. They're looking at him to try and hit him as much as possible. If you can, shoot a ball off him, like, just to frustrate him. And you can't really retaliate there. He didn't seem to make a lot of contact to me.
No, it was glancing.
Lopez makes a meal out of it.
Oh yeah,
But that's been an interesting wrinkle, I think, for me of this tournament, is the style of play, and I've felt this every time I've gone to play in Mexico or even, you know, Honduras or other places, where there's just different things you have to manage and you have to learn. And I think Evander could probably get away in MLS throwing that hand there and maybe not getting that same reaction.
And remember, Evander did throw a hand, didn't get caught in MLS, and he got caught on review and got suspended for it. So that was the other thing about this moment. Where I was just like, man, I thought you would have learned that lesson. And, like, in this high leverage match where you have an opportunity to beat the man, like you said, don't get pulled into those mind games. Like,
but it's
find a way to stay on the field. I know it's hard.
Also, credit to Lopez, and I don't personally like that. It's not a way that I would play or that I have played, but I think it's really intelligent. It's that if you have, it's a part of it. Like, if you have Evander on a yellow, And you feel that. You go down, sure. You make a meal.
Oh, he did.
Out of
he
it.
Was pointing at the head. He was running to the referee. He was showing the
we
card.
We saw the
motion.
Same thing with he Teal did. Bunbury. Was, I didn't agree with that decision at all, but it no, was the same crazy. Thing. Well, the first one, he goes over, but the goalkeeper immediately goes, like, pulls up the landing gear.
Yeah, and there was. I just did instant replay, so I got all this fresh. There was a little contact on that one. Okay. I still think it is a little soft.
But I don't think Teal's gaining anything by pressing that moment. And I think that's good. Part of it.
It's good to press there. I mean, you're going to just tell your striker not.
No,
to.
But like understanding
the
how
jump
much you're
and
going
the extended
in,
foot maybe
the opportunity
know.
You're giving an opposition player to act like there is contact.
I don't have any issues with that. Fine, if there's contact, I trust my instant replay.
There is contact. It's not.
Then,
it's not egregious. Terrible.
Then we'll take
contact.
The yellow. The second one where he's upset, made the most. Says something to the referee immediately. He wants the call. He wants the yellow against the other guy. Immediately gets a yellow. That just felt like an ego thing.
Same.
He seemed very confused by that call as well. Like Teal's reaction was shocked.
Yeah.
That he got a yellow.
And I don't want to, I struggle with this one because I don't know what was said. And I know Teal. And then I'm like, I don't think Teal would say that. And you don't know what somebody say. So I can't even comment on what, I just feel like the threshold for a referee when a guy's on a yellow card and just takes a brutal foul like that and is frustrated. It's a competitive game, like high stakes.
Right.
Your threshold needs to be very high.
Yes. But also the players need to adjust and begin to manage these types of environments, especially playing against Liga MX, where it's a different style of play. There's players react differently than you're used to every week.
These are CONCACAF referees as well. So it's not just the opponents. It's also the referees. And, you know, they might know all the pro guys and they have a relationship there. And you might be able to say some stuff or do some stuff that you get away with because you're like, hey, that's my guy XYZ. Or we've been through this before. I know you're not going to give me a yellow there. These are referees.
And in a tight tournament where you need to get the edge, I've started to see this with the U.S. national team, actually, with like Kellen Acosta.
Yeah.
Guys that know how to, they've been in these environments and they are now understanding how to get to use these environments to your edge. And I just think that's a part of it where it's a learning process for a number of MLS teams where it's a different type of match than you're generally playing.
I would also throw in here, I think this is part of the learning process for Evander, which is part of MLS roster structure of like, you're the guy. Every team's going to target you. Every team's going to try and get you sent off. Like big games, their focus is how do we get Evander out of his game? And while he obviously, you know, got bought to come over to Europe and play in Scandinavia, it was not the same focus of like, you are an $11 million signing and everyone else is here. So there's a huge gap. So the other team, their entire game plan starts and ends with you. I think on top of the style, that's been a learning experience for him. And I think we've seen it on a couple of these of like, he's gotten frustrated. He maybe thinks people aren't looking and it's like, everyone's looking at you and everyone's targeting you the whole game because you are the thing. And I think that's a learning experience for him on top. He's what, 24? Like he hasn't really carried a franchise or a team on his shoulders before. And I think the skill and talent's obviously there. That's like unquestionable.
The free kick is
absurd.
Is stupid.
Yeah. And a lot of what he does is absurd and effortless, which is what's so fun about watching him. He works really hard. Thought you saw in this game early on, he worked hard against the ball. Like he does that. But he has to, I think, figure out the other sides of it, which like a guy like Diego Valerio was very good at, of he was always going to be there and locked in for the big moments and carry the team when the game was against them and all these things, which I think Evander's going to learn.
Can I get a comment from you, Dave, on the Juan David Mosquera back post defending? Or lack thereof for the game winner.
Listen, I think that if you're a Portland Timbers fullback, you're required to not defend on the back post and attack as much as possible. I think that's been made
so
pretty
evident. Fulfilling his job duties. Got it. All right, Stefano, what's your result/game that interested you the most?
I was kind of like upset with the result, the way it went down, just because I really was hoping it was going to be a great game. Monterrey beating Real Salt Lake. RSL, the hottest team in the league coming into this game. They hadn't lost in 11. They're just banging in goals at will. Chicho doing his thing. Boy, were they humbled. Were they humbled against a Monterrey side that rotated? It wasn't even their strongest side. Funes Mori didn't start, came in because of an injury. And they didn't even have their new signing in Canales that is now with Monterrey. Currently, we could see him. He could feature. He's finally with the team here in the United States. I was shocked just how quickly that game got out of control for RSL. It took two plays because RSL was really on the front foot. Monterrey was just kind of sitting back, and you saw just the experience, right? They saw the experience of being in these games, in this type of tournament where Monterrey just kind of was like never really pressured, never really panicked. Even when RSL did have a couple of opportunities through Savarino and through Krylak, and then it just all they needed was two opportunities to take a two-goal lead and then just kind of sat back, never worried, and it really, really saw the difference in quality. I still think RSL is a top team. I think they're going to score a ton of goals, but Monterrey really showed them what playing in a tournament like this is about. And really, like I said, I think they were humbled completely and really tried to take a step back now and realize, okay, this is going to be different playing against this top quality of Liga MX side.
I think it goes back to that Carnell quote of like, hey, you were winning this way. And we're not saying that anything that's new, like the gap between Monterrey and everybody else in the region is huge, other than like two or three teams.
Right.
The efficiency is what stood out to me and the recognition of, hey, this is our moment. And when we get our moment, we're not going to miss. Like, no Funes Mori, no Gallardo, no Romo in midfield. I mean, they have five starters probably. They did not play in this match, and the quality did not drop, and the team went out and just executed flawlessly. It was, I think humbling is a good word for it, for RSL.
I really expected it to be, like, just one of the better games in the group stage. I was really high on RSL. Maybe that's my fault, but I really expected this to be just an out-and-out battle, but it was just came down to experience. It came down to just, we know how to play these type of games, and we're going to show you. And they did that and blanked a team that has been scoring goals, like I said, at will, especially at home in Utah. And they were just weren't able to create anything close to what they had in their previous matches.
Big bummer. Big bummer. More opportunities probably for RSL. Seattle, would have to do some crazy things against Monterrey to get through.
Yeah, watch out for those yellow cards. We would get to fair play potentially.
Oh man,
we are in fair play.
Forget fair play. I'm trying to go blind draw on the tiebreakers. Take us through it, Kaylin. What is it? No, sorry. No, I'm just kidding.
You're our official tiebreaker.
I've been tearing my hair out with these three team groups with 3 points, 2 points, 1 point, head to head, goal differential, goals scored, goals allowed, fair play. Like
the 2 point, 1 point thing is interesting because you're like, oh well, if they lose here, and you forget that a team like gets a point for losing if they lose in the.
But they're not in my mind. They're not losing. They're drawing. Yeah. It's a new math.
It's made our eyes go cross-eyed in that green room that we wait to do our shows, like, trying to figure these things out. Where I'm just like, I can't deal with this. I need to leave the room right now.
Yeah, somebody just tell me when it's an official result here, please, Kaylin. What's the result/game that was interesting to you?
Can I do the one I was at?
Yeah.
New England, yes, beating Atletico San Luis. 5-1?
5-1. Before we get there, what were the League's Cup vibes at Bar Louie like for you?
Shout out Everybody Bar Louie, locked baby.
In. Immaculate. To watch Lionel Messi play in League's Cup at Bar Louie. What
like
a dream.
It's like the Mecca.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a dream. Yeah.
Is Messi's whole family there watching?
There was a watch party. I don't think it was his
family. No, Messi in Messi's family's box, they have a live stream of Bar Louie.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So they can.
Kaylin's a legend there already, too. Yeah. So he knows.
Back in Foxborough, baby. It was great. But no, New England was really impressive. I did their first match of League's Cup against Red Bull, and they had 0.34 XG. Red Bull just have been a problem for them all year, honestly. It's just been a tough matchup, the way that they crowd that middle of the midfield and just starve space. And then New England still don't really have a direct threat. They tried to play long and get some hold-up play, but they are really good in transition. And we saw that against Atletico San Luis, where if you commit numbers forward, which Atletico San Luis does with sometimes 5, 6, 7 in the attack, on the other side, if you allow Carly Seal to start moving, get open in space, they can really hurt you pretty quickly. My favorite goal of the bunch, there were a lot, was the little dummy from Carly Seal where he just kind of runs over it. That was just...
How many strikers take that shot? I mean, there's so like I was kind of talking with someone, like every 99% of strikers, I know he's not a striker, but of attackers will take that shot.
Yeah.
Carlos Hill, one of the only guys that lets that through, knowing that Brioni's right behind him. I thought it was awesome. Another guy, Carlos Hill, who's really getting affected by the no secondary assist, because he would have had like 5 by now.
Hill is the type of guy who leaves it, and Messi is the type of guy you leave it for, by the way. Because Joseph, by the way, is shooting that
all day.
That ball coming through. Up until yesterday.
That's a good point.
Like his whole career, he was taking that shot until Messi was the guy making 100%. The run behind him.
Yeah. But New England, I mean, also defensively, Petrovic, another really good game. You see why this team could, I think, really make a run in this tournament and potentially win the whole thing.
I'm going to go, to keep it on the beatdowns, MLS over Liga MX, I'm going to go Philly. Working over Querétaro, had a bunch of Philly fans in our mentions yelling at us, like, nobody gives love to Daniel Gosdag. And I feel like we talk about Daniel Gosdag on the regular.
It was my carryover for my Golden Boot team. Two League's Cup goals count? Have we decided?
After a Gazdag hat trick, you asked that question?
I asked that question at the start, and then I asked it again a lot more because my guys keep scoring. I think Cucho has a goal, too. All my guys score.
I think we're going to have to go to the courts on this one. The Honorable Judge Anders is going to have to make a decision on this. I don't know what the appeal process would be.
I think that Maria should get this because I think Anders is two in the bag. I think Anders is team Kalen.
A lot of junkets.
Yeah.
Taking trips.
Yeah. Well, I have Raul Ruiz Diaz. So when he scores a hat trick in the 3-0 comeback to then go to fair play.
Mm-hmm.
Did we do a Leagues Cup Golden Boot draft?
No, but that was a huge mistake.
Oh,
and I blame myself for that and the fact that we were at All-Star. And, you know, did the Leagues Cup preview. So I'm looking around at who to blame.
Preview for 4 minutes each. We were supposed to throw a draft in where we were going to blind draft for their teams as well.
Could have called me up. Would have done it.
You up.
Yeah, get the technology working.
Maybe after the group stages.
Well, now we have an idea for next year. This is not going away. Certainly not. Or next year we just include it. And then maybe you have a Liga Mekis
player
draft.
Did we include it in the trophy draft?
Must
have been included.
Sure
Then I think it doubles as Golden
Boot. Wow, that sounds like double draft Jeopardy, and I'm not sure I agree with that. Just saying. Anyway, Philly showing why they are, in MLS terms at least, favorites in this competition. They're probably going to play if they can keep winning all the way through the final. You would think the only way that they wouldn't play the final at home if they got there is if LAFC also got there, which very possible. LAFC reloading in the transfer window.
We had to go to LAFC
again. But
yes, that would be quite difficult emotionally, I would assume, for Philly. Or maybe not. Maybe just the, like, you know, the Philly vibes of, like, let us win it finally and take revenge would take over. I don't know.
Quick question. Is the way Philly are playing, is it changing the way you feel about them towards the home stretch in the Eastern Conference, like in league play?
What I do like is that they've won now these two games in two different ways, two different formations. They've been sort of showing us the 3-5-2 this year a little bit, even though the 4-4-2 diamond has been their standby. But I like that Jim Curtin switched it up, saw a matchup he liked, but didn't do it just to be better against Querétaro. Did it to take away Querétaro's strength and keep the Union's strength. So yeah, I think they are starting to round into the form we always knew they had, and that CCL loss and what they put into that tournament sort of had a temporary blip. But they've been beasting people for a while now.
I think the Andres Pereira loan is weird, of just like a team that has so much struggled with depth. I get that coming out of this, they'll have no other competitions to cross over with MLS. It just feels unnecessary. And I feel like coming out of a stretch where it's like, hey, if Matt Freeze was on this team, they'd probably still be in a supporter shield race. And they gave him away. They got a little bit for a guy who was going to be a backup. But, like, I don't know. It just feels like anytime Philly, like, fakes depth.
Like the smartest guy in the room stuff from
they're
Ernst?
Like, no, yeah.
Like, oh, 300,000 in allocation? Like,
yeah. I don't know. That's just
something to watch, certainly. NYCFC needed him. So, short-term loan there, which is just an interesting wrinkle in MLS terms. All right, a player you've liked watching so far, other than, of course, Lionel Messi in this tournament. Dave. Are you, Dave?
I'm ready for this one because I thought we were doing this one like five questions ago. I think I made it obvious at the beginning, but Julian Quiñones, this is a guy who I talked about, I think, last show. I thought he was going to come to MLS a while ago.
And Tom teased us and said that was a very real possibility.
Yeah,
maybe in the future.
The Portland Timbers, probably not, because no one's going to be able to afford him. And then with Atlas, this was a team that was defensively based under Coca, and they won back-to-back titles. And I think for me, coming out of COVID, there was like a few games where you're like, oh yeah, like fans are in stadiums and the atmosphere is fun. This is what I like. And those Atlas runs were that of like the building was shaking every time you watch. And it was just Quiñones on the counterattack. And when you watch a player where it can be anyway, it can be against a set defense, it could be via the pass, it could be via the dribble, in transition, himself setting someone else up. Like, he has everything to be a complete attacker. And now you watch him to come into Club America and it's like, oh, will that take away from him? Like, he doesn't have to do as much. Will that actually hurt his production? And then instantly links up with Henry Martin, who he's never played with before and hadn't been training with him because he was at Gold Cup. And I said again on that first goal of like, you play a long ball over the top, a high pressing team. You're like looking for a hopeful flick on. and it's just like controlled and caressed. And then the layoff and the understanding of the run, his ability to beat guys 1v1 is always going to be fun to watch. It's always entertaining.
Is that the pick and roll soccer equivalent?
Pretty much,
like,
yeah.
Like a two-man game?
It didn't really feel like a soccer moment because it was like so easy and there didn't feel like there was any space. And then he plays him through and you're like, why is there so much space? He's got Mexican citizenship, I believe. He announced it when he joined Club America. There are reports that depending on who the coach will be, doesn't think he should play for Mexico because he's not quote unquote Mexican, which as someone who roots for other teams in CONCACAF, I think is a great concept because that makes the team so much worse. I think Quiñones would be incredible with the national team, but it's cool for him to be at Club America, to be performing the way he is. It was a little bit up and down. Atlas was not a traditional stop, and then he turned it into a powerhouse, and then he leaves when his time's up. But he's been awesome to watch. I'm excited to watch the Columbus game because it's Nance versus now Jardine and what this Club America. I mean, these are the two teams on that one extreme of like, we have our system, we have our style, we will play to it. That will be fun, even though they're both clinched. And then as they go forward, I think even with Tigres winning at Portland, that Club America, I think, is the favorite.
Even if Club America decides to rotate, we were talking about this earlier, the substitutions they made. Leon, they had
Zendejas.
Brian Rodriguez coming off the bench.
Nestor Araujo.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. The amount of players that they can bring in as substitutions. So it's like as the depth piece goes on in the tournament. And look, I actually think they might, because they're so new in the season, these Liga MX teams, a lot of these players do need minutes. And if you already know you're in a good position, if you then give guys games, like I think that would still be scary to then have those guys coming in fresh and going from the start.
Monterrey did that and won 3-0.
So the one thing I'd add is you asked about Philly. I think like this is one of those moments where for teams that have struggled in knockout competitions, this is a chance to prove you can compete. There's a Club America have not won a trophy in 5 years or haven't won a title because they struggle in the Liga. Like they've lost games where they are favorites in knockout competition when they've dominated over the course of the season. That's why they keep firing their coach. So I think this is a tournament where they will take it seriously in a way to say like, no, we can win single elimination. I think that's similar for Philly to be like, we can prove we can win in this format, not just in a regular season flow from game to game format.
I think it's the same for Monterrey too.
Yeah.
Even though they've won in CCL, they haven't done in the league in a long time. Yeah. They've been chokers there. So player you've liked watching, Stefano.
We'll stick with Miami. I know we're not talking Messi, but Robert Taylor, Finnish legend at this point. The confidence that he's gotten in these last two games has been pretty cool to see. It's still kind of surreal to see, you know, him celebrating a goal and Messi running up to him to give him a hug and give him a congratulations. It's still kind of wild to see that. But I love what you're seeing just from a guy.
To be fair, that'd be for anybody though, right? It's a little
fine. If you're Robert Taylor and you have the photo of Messi hugging you and you're like, that goes in my house.
Oh, 100%.
That's above my mantle.
That's already in Robert Taylor's house. Yeah. It has to be. Right?
I would.
Above the sauna?
In the sauna. That's what you look at before you go in the sauna. You're like, I could probably go 5 hours in here after looking at that.
And not to mention the goal. I guess it was the third goal he scored in this tournament. He has the same amount of goals as Messi, which is pretty cool. Was a banger. I mean, he rifles it into the top corner. Just to see the confidence that players like Robert Taylor and like other guys on that team are going to be getting and going to be elevated. I think it's going to be great to see. It's going to be great for the league. It's going to be great for the team. I mean, we weren't really talking about Robert Taylor before this. And now to see him doing this, it's pretty cool to see.
Taylor's one of the guys on this team. And I think Campagna and Joseph are in this boat as well of like, they're not creators. Taylor a little bit, like he can create special moments for himself, but it's not pure like always break a guy down, always break a defense down. And so when you bring Messi in where it's like, I'm going to do the creating, you just have to be clinical. Those are all players who are clinical if they're given that moment. And they haven't been given the moment all year because no one on the team's capable.
But he creates space, though. Create space where it's not with the ball at his feet, but him stretching the line is giving Messi more space to operate. And I always felt that where coming into this, like if you're going to play for Miami, you have to do one of two things, basically. You have to either defend for him, or you have to run, defend for him, or you have to create space. unless you're Sergio Busquets, and then you can play.
you can play with him. Yeah.
But other than that, like, that's been kind of the recipe. You need people to run for him. You've got a couple guys that can actually play with him, and then the rest are really about creating space, creating vertical lanes. That way he can actually have more space. So it's not by accident sometimes when you see Messi with all this space and saying, wow, he's just driving wherever he wants to go. There are players that are moving other pieces on the pitch. I think Taylor's been a good example.
He said it after this last game against Atlanta. He said it. He's like, my job is to try to get out wide, try to find that space, and then when he gets the ball, find out where that run is, where that ball is going. Make the correct run. If he says, if I make the correct run, he's going to find
me. And that simplifies it for
you. It does.
But when I played with Cuauhtemoc.
Logan, pause.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up Logan.
Gather round, children. Gather round.
Like, Do you think Robbie Robinson's going to be hosting ETR in 15 years?
I hope
and
so.
And when Mbappe comes to MLS, he's going to be like, listen, when I played with Messi.
I hope so.
Please.
Still wouldn't have as good a story as the compared to Cuauhtemoc.
Probably not.
But I remember Juan Carlos Osorio was the manager. And up until that point, honestly, I'd been told to like check back, hold the ball, yeah, like Dave Sarakin was like, you got to hold the ball up. And I was like, dude, I am 140 pounds. Like, that's Hamas and Olave. I can't do that. Like, I'm afraid of this man. Like,
and then it was like, I tripped over this twig. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And why did it break?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to try to go behind when I can. But it was just difficult. Whereas Juan Carlos Osorio came in and was like, we have Cuauhtemoc Blanco on the team. You're very fast. Why don't you just, for the first 10 minutes, just go in behind every time? Make them respect that threat. We'll soften up the team a little bit. And it was really simple. It simplified the match for me, where I knew exactly what I had to do. And so when I think of a guy like that, where it's like, yeah, it's also nice to have somebody who's going to find you in that space, and they don't even have to be looking at you. They know exactly where it's going to go. To play with a player like, you know, not to that level, obviously, but still, like, I think it can help simplify for a lot of the players on Miami right now.
You think if we zoomed in on you at the 10-minute mark of every game that season,
just
you'd
dead.
Completely gassed at that point.
It's like coming to the sideline. Throw me a water bottle. Throw me a water bottle, guys. I'm going to go with Rodrigo
Aguirre. The buzzer goes off when it hits 10, so you know you're done.
All right, my high-intensity workout is over for the day. I'm going to go Rodrigo Aguirre. I know that Germán Bertrame got the goals, and oh my God, those finishes are just so classy. But Aguirre is the backup forward, and he comes in, and the way he combines and recognizes what space to drop into, and then the play off of it, and you can tell it's all pre-planned. We understand you're going to drop in. This guy's going to push forward. Here's where the movement is. Here's the 1-2. You're going to flick it in behind. The way that those balls were weighted, all of the coordination that Monterrey had and that he had within it was really impressive. But I'm also going to shout out the NYCFC forward, the new guy, Moussef Bakrar, already making a huge impact for NYCFC. 5-0 winners against Toronto. Santi Rodriguez had this to say about Moussef. His movement totally changes the game plan. He's a natural 9, and it helps unlock everyone else. He's fitting in really well.
Great finish.
It's just so frustrating they didn't have this done earlier.
I don't even care.
So it's like,
why?
I don't even...
It's been the thing with NYC.
NYCFC is self-inflicted, and so it's like, fair. I don't... Yeah.
Fair.
Your player wants to play with the 9 because he played with Tati and it was good. And then he didn't. And then you traded Ebert. So it's like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And they tried to run with Tyus as a 9. That didn't
Santi's
work out
like,
either.
Guess what? I didn't have to play 9 today. It was a great day. We all did well.
We scored
all
5 goals.
Fun. Yeah.
New signing as well for NYCFC, Julian Fernandez from Vélez, was on there. I believe the U-20 World Cup team.
He looks like he's going to fit very well. He looks a little bigger than Gabi Pereira, like a little more physical. And I think maybe less of like slips in and connects and more like can be a force on his own. But I would, again, never question an NYCFC signing because they hit almost all the time.
It's almost like they have a really good scouting network connected to a much larger club that also hits all the time. Anyway, NYCFC beat TFC in the 6th venue all time. Red Bull Arena, Citi Field, BMO Field, Yankee Stadium, Orlando at MLS's back, and also Rentschler in Hartford, which is a pretty incredible stat.
This is the most weeby thing of all time because it was literally a list.
Yes.
But it's very sad that TFC can't play an open cup because they could have played at Belsen Stadium. We could have 7th on there.
Oh, wow. Could have had that. Kalen, player you've liked watching so far?
If you get a chance to watch Emmanuel Reynoso right now, you have to do it. Turn on your television, your smartphone, your device, whatever it is. You have to watch
The beauty is it's... you know, it's everything everywhere, right?
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
He's on one right now. He's been just feeling it. The way he's just been able to control the match, it just makes me think about like the fact that this guy was gone for so long and not playing, and then to come back and immediately be in this type of form is just scary. He's just toying with defenders the way he's just always able to have that extra little bit of pause or calmness or twisting and turning around guys on the sideline or finding the final pass. It's just been ridiculous. Super fun to watch. The set piece goal where he sees the keeper just like leaning a little bit and he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to put this in the top corner.
It's so sick.
It's been fun. Pukki hasn't been, he hasn't quite been as efficient as I was sort of thinking he was going to be coming in. He had that, of course, the beautiful goal against Houston, but has had some other chances where he hasn't put it in the back of the net.
I was surprised it was the pullback on this one. I think it's blocked by a defender, but it felt like that's a layup for Pukki.
Right. But Hlangwane has been on fire. But Reynoso, man, he's on another level.
Special. All right. Games you're looking forward to. We have one more match day in the group. I keep teasing Kaylin about the scenarios. Just, I mean, they're on the website,
on it,
I think. Like, go do the math yourself. Watch the games. We'll tell you on the pregame shows on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, etc. Match that you're looking forward to. Stefano, start us.
I think it's got to be Club America and Columbus. Obviously, we know America. We know how stacked they are. We know how good they can be. Columbus, defensively, they have their issues, but I think that this could be a game where there could be 7 or 8 goals. It could be a 4-3, a 3-2. I don't know if Columbus can kind of keep it up for 90 minutes because of just how many issues they have defensively on their back line. They also have probably more wingbacks than like 7 teams combined on their roster.
But Julian Gressel there yet?
He's training, yeah. He's training. Put photos out of him in training.
Yeah, he's there.
Start Julian Gressel in goal this game. Play 6 wingbacks. Yeah. Play a back that. 5 of all wingbacks with Gressel in goal.
I love that.
He might score. He might match.
He's the new Volpe.
Yeah. He'll be the next Volpe. I just think that with Celarian, with Cucho, I've enjoyed watching Columbus a lot. I've done a couple of their games this season, and they've just been one of the more entertaining teams to watch, sometimes for better or for worse, because obviously defensively, like we said, they are having some issues. If they can stick with it and just defend enough, I do think that this can be a match where they can either surprise Club America or at least get a result somehow, get to PKs, but I think it'll be a really fun match to watch.
Either way, they're both through. So for Columbus, it's like, you know, let's test ourselves against the type of team that we're going to have to beat to win this thing. Kaylin, what do you got?
I'm going to look at this Monterrey Sounders match. Just this group was so difficult. You guys did a good job breaking down the Monterrey back line, the way they're able to defend against Salt Lake. Seattle has to win 3-0 to
3-0 to go to fair play, I believe.
And then 4-1, if they win by 3 goals at 4-1 or better, so 4-1, 5-2, 6-3, Seattle automatically goes through, and then Monterrey and RSL have to be decided on a tiebreaker. But at 3-0, all 3 teams would be even on points, head-to-head, goal differential, goals scored, and we would be down to yellow cards and red cards, which right now would be bad for RSL.
Or tiebreaker is Justin Glad running back toward his own goal, and he has to prevent an own goal.
Oh, come on, man.
I love Justin Glad alone. I know. Just wish you would have.
Brutal.
Wish you would have not.
Unnecessary.
Can we please have one decided by a coin flip? Because that would be just I'm so
coin flip 3 teams.
I don't think that's the blind draw. What is the blind draw? Maybe it's
I'm pretty sure balls? It's a coin flip.
Really?
I have a message
who
from the producer.
Who chooses the coin?
now that's above my
it's actually they just flipped the league's cup trophy whichever end it lands on is
it's good stuff
because I don't know if you've seen
one
side
it's 2 leagues one tournament
their record against Mexican
it's all very
teams
serious.
What's the Sounders
record? It is Sounders all time at home 7-3-1 against Liga MX opponents in competitive matches, and that includes a 5-0-0 mark under Brian Schmetzer.
Okay, so there is hope. We were standing there, I think, what, a year? I've lost track of time, but against Pumas in the final, 3-0, right?
Yep.
So it's doable. I'd say it feels a little bit far-fetched just in the sense of like Monterrey, how good they have been. They've, even in the season so far, I was watching their game against Atletico San Luis where they did concede a goal, but other than that, they have not conceded a goal so far this season. So they've been tough, but
uphill battle.
Yeah, if I were Sounders, I think you have to break it down to 30-minute intervals. So you try to get one in the first 30, try to get a second. Say you get what you adjust if it doesn't work out. So you say you get one in the first half, you feel all right. You try to get a second. And then who knows? You know, you try and hope for that magic moment where you sub in Roger Levesque off the bench.
4 goals in 16 matches for the Sounders. So their form is pretty poor right now.
Yeah. Jordan Morris hopefully comes back into the starting lineup. Did not start in their first match. But Christian Roldan, I believe, is still out under the health and safety protocols. So we will see. But yeah, I'm hyped for that one.
Dave, what do you got?
I have Chivas against Sporting Kansas City.
Even with our guy Alan Pulido in Vegas?
Chivas hosting Sporting Kansas City, by the way.
Yeah, team A versus team B, got you.
Yeah, obviously that would have taken it up another level. Pulido against Chivas would have been the storyline. He's a great player. Also, it would have been fun. But I don't know. You watch any game in Kansas and it's fun. Like, the energy is going to be good.
Again?
You bring Chivas in. That's a team that has a huge fan base. I don't go. I watch on
TV. Got it. But still, I'm just saying.
I'm not an anti-Kansas City.
Okay. I didn't say you were.
Messenger Cafe, bro. Yeah. I taught you.
No, you didn't.
Did you know about it before me?
Yeah.
That is a lie.
It's not a lie.
That is a lie. That is a lie.
You just put that on Graham Zusi?
No, Graham knows because I said it to him. He goes, yeah, of course. Everyone knows that. And you had never heard of it in Orlando at All-Star 2019.
Run back to tape.
Wow. Diego Simeone
knows. Did you just quote me 2019
liar.
All-Star?
I'm just saying I was there. I was on the dais.
Whoa.
I was there.
Okay. All right. It's going to be a good game. I'm going to take Orlando Santos Laguna.
Wait, do you know that the winner of this group would play against Messi in Miami.
Orlando Santos Laguna.
I didn't know if you.
No, somebody told me that earlier in the show. I'm just catching up here.
We should put timestamps down.
Yeah. This decides who will play Messi. Did you know that?
That's exciting.
Yeah, wow. For sure. Yeah.
Could the game be in Houston?
No, it couldn't be. It would only be in Miami because they have 6 points and nobody else
Houston's
can get six. This is the only group that's winner versus winner because you had two teams get byes through to the round of 32 and then just the way the math worked.
Got
I don't
it.
Really know what the math is. I just say things.
No, there have to be two groups because there's two buys, no? Oh, 15 groups. I probably shouldn't have gone down this road. This was a mistake.
My head hurts.
Who would you rather see against Messi, Orlando or Santos Laguna?
Orlando.
Orlando all day.
Yeah. Orlando against Miami, like the winners of the offseason against the winners of the midseason transfer window.
There's also the
I was spacing out for a second, then I came back to the winners of the
raise the banner.
Also, we're down in South Florida the other day after Messi's second game, a bunch of Orlando fans threw purple paint on one of the Messi,
which I thought that was lame.
It's going to add a little bit. It's going to add a little fuel to the fire. It's Orlando and South Florida. South Florida people already don't like each other as it is. So it's just going to add a little bit more fuel to the fire.
By the way, Jake in Orlando says very respectfully, he's a longtime listener, fan of the show, starting to call himself a sicko, but none of his friends know what that means. So he's throwing some disdain our way. MLS is Major League Soccer, not Messi's League Soccer. You guys spent a ton of time on Messi and his Miami debut, and I get it, and I enjoyed the segment. But you guys can't spend 1 minute talking about the other team in Florida. Duncan McGuire leading the Rookie of the Year race, who scores a goal through pure effort. Plus, Orlando City winning the PK shootout, continuing their narrative, chaotic, unpredictable things in the playoffs.
Who has a higher goal per minute rate, Messi or Maguire?
Well,
Messi.
Wasn't Maguire?
It was the best in the league for a while there.
Yeah.
But now he's played too much.
Messi's played Messi's played like 70 minutes. He has three goals.
Yeah, do the math.
Pretty sure it's Messi. Yeah.
Anyway,
I haven't done the math, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay. It's Messi. We got to set a threshold.
I would say I've never seen Messi score a goal in the Big East, so I don't know what he would look like in college soccer, but he's never been to a Mac Herman ceremony.
Speaking of Duncan McGuire, Joey P. Hey, Extra Time peeps. I noticed that Matt Doyle made a surprise return on the wrap up. Where has he been? I haven't seen a column since early June. Didn't know what the heck happened to him. Every once in a while, somebody would drop his name, but not really say much about him not being there on Extra Time or any of the other stuff. I'm very curious, and this is probably the right time to tell you. He's back. Matt Doyle is back next week in the studio for Extra Time. Triumphant return. Red carpet. Those like long bugle things that they play when kings and queens enter a room.
Helicopter him onto the roof.
The cats.
Yeah.
Coming with him.
The cats.
Stray cats, domestic cats, cats in stadiums, all the cats here for Matt Doyle. So that's
he's going to be here for Tigres and Pumas because they're both cats.
Exactly.
Oh.
Good point.
Orlando
City as well for the Lions.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Big cats.
Houston Dynamo. What's their cat thing?
It's a fox, actually. Yeah, it's a fox. Yeah. Sorry.
Not a friend of cats.
Not a friend.
Especially not domestic
cats. Sly, isn't Sly the Revs?
Also a fox.
Yeah. They all have tails. Yeah.
Benny in the Bay Area, of course. First of all, did anyone see the League's Cup being this fun? I raise my hand at this point. I'm legit addicted to this competition and the fact that each team, except maybe Toronto, has seemingly entered the tournament with a desire to play for the win. That's amazing. I'm just loving it. And my sicko buddy and I are sending texts back and forth each night, and our wives are getting concerned, but we don't care. We are hooked. Being the MLS dork that he is, when he moved to the Bay Area last year, he made the decision to buy a single Quake season ticket despite not being a fan of the club. This year's team is a fun bunch, and Lucci's made PayPal a nice fortress. Can you guys break down how Ayo Akinola ended up down the depth chart in Toronto and what he will bring to the Quake's attack? Is there a lineup available where Ayo, Cade, Jabo, and Espinoza all play together? And does Ayo lift the Quakes to a team that will host a playoff game this year? Benny, shout out to you, man. Just buy two tickets.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Right? Yeah. Just, I mean, shout out to you, but like,
but also like,
or if you're having fun, yeah. Who cares? You know,
I like to go to stuff by myself. Sometimes you get to meet people.
If you were going by yourself, would you hang in the Lobina or would you go to your seat in the stands or do a little bit of both?
I think you got to create community around your seat.
Yeah, I think so too.
So you have to be there sometimes, but then as people get to know you, then you're like,
invite, hey,
I'll be at the biggest outdoor bar in the Lobina
real quick. Yeah. Yeah.
I also like that somebody's like, hey, I'm new to this. What's going on in Toronto?
Yeah. For Ayo, a lot of it's injuries. So he, every time it's been stop start, every time he got his feet under him, he would get injuries and he would have to start from scratch for a club that is trying to be win now. So there was a ton of space where they weren't going to play him because whatever manager had brought in a more experienced player to play. I would say his best skill sets don't totally fit with Bernadeschi and Insigne. Like, he's not really drop deep and create. He's more ball over the top and as a finisher, which is why I think he's an interesting play for San Jose as depth behind Jeremy Abobase. The question of can they all play together? Most likely not.
Do you think he could play for Cal on the wing? Like, as a more direct
wing option?
He was bad
in Toronto on the wing.
I don't think he's been fit enough to be able to play on that wing and to continue.
He also
to have that speed down. I just don't think he's got
and
that.
He just, outside of the box, he's not special. Inside of the box, he is. Right. So why would you take him away from that? Yeah, it would. The only way there is like if Espinoza were to play as like a 10 and you played as or I guess you could play a 4-4-2. Most likely, no. But I think one of the very big conversations with San Jose the entire year has been like they have 12 players that they want to play, 13 players. They just needed to add depth, and this is a good opportunity.
All right, we ended on Ayo Akinola in a League's Cup episode. Pure extra time for you. Three straight days of action to finish out the group stage, then onto the round of 32.
And also, forward. San Jose Tigres, by the way. Let's go.
Yeah, it's a good one.
San Jose, get a win at home, win the group. I don't even know if they can win the group.
All the previews on MLS Season Pass on Apple.
I think I previewed that game, and I still don't know if San Jose can win the group.
Tight. All right, we're out of here. Enjoy it. Watch all the matches, the pregame shows as well for every single match night. No Messi, but we have a bunch of good games, and we will be back in a couple days. Adios. Adios.